It's 28 minutes to midday now, and we talk to Terry Winstanley, Director of the Environmental Law Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. And Terry, since the Paris Agreement on climate change, we've been hearing a lot of talk on how the different countries should deal with pollution issues. The good news is that the pollution prevention plan regulations are already in place. But then how much do companies and the public understand what these regulations mean? Good to be chatting to you, sir.
Hi, Bongi. Sorry, it's Terry. Not sir. Sorry. Hi to you and your listeners.
Hi, Terry. My apologies.
No problem at all.
All right. So the understanding of these regulations, I see here the long-awaited pollution prevention plan will come into effect. In fact, it's in effect already from the 20th of July 2017.
That's correct, Bongi. It might be useful just to understand the context in which we are bringing these into force. As you mentioned, we have global commitments to decreasing the emissions that cause an increase in temperature. So these are our climate change commitments. South Africa, like other developing countries, has lower levels of commitment than developing countries, but our commitment is to peak our emissions at 2020 and then to start reducing them so that we are, by the 2025, significantly below our current emissions. And these pollution prevention plan and other regulations are designed to ensure that we can meet those international law obligations.
But, you know, the PPP, the pollution prevention plan, says that, or it requires that any person or industry who emits priority pollutants, I mean greenhouse gases as we know it, above the threshold of 0.1 megatons, they should submit a pollution prevention plan. Let's start by asking this question. Do you get a sense that individuals or companies even understand their threshold, the threshold of, not the threshold, but the amount of pollution that they emit into the sky?
Well, it's likely that polluters who emit 0.1 megatons, which, as you'll appreciate, is 100,000 tons, are likely to know what their emissions are. For most of us, and in smaller operations, we aren't going to reach those thresholds. But they only affect entities that emit greenhouse gases. The most commonly known ones are carbon dioxide and methane. In specific operations such as coal mining, cement production, electricity production and the like, and only up to that threshold. So it's likely that those people will know that what their emissions are.
And how big is the 0.1 megatons of carbon dioxide? Are we talking about a coal company that burns coal the whole day or the whole month? Just an example of, so that you get a sense that, you know, if I burn stuff in my house, whether it's rubbish or what, it's far from 0.1 megatons.
It's a lot. I mean, an oil refinery will put out somewhere between 10 and 20 tons a day of carbon dioxide. For example, on the other end of the scale, I can measure what my car saves in kilograms of carbon dioxide when it switches off automatically at traffic lights. And I think in 6 months, I've only saved 16 kilograms. So most of us don't produce that quantity or anything like that quantity of greenhouse gases.
So it's big companies, big corporates that produces this kind of amount of carbon dioxide.
Correct. And those in those particular sectors that I mentioned earlier.
And then what happens then if a pollution plan is not submitted by December 2017?
You would be liable to a fine of 5 million rand, or 5 years, or both, on a first offence, and 10 million, or 10 years, or both, on a second offence.
Is there anyone who's been jailed for this, not only in South Africa, but elsewhere? I mean, the so-called first world countries, because these have been out there for a while now in many countries.
Yes. Well, obviously, in South Africa, not yet, because deadlines are still looming. But directors have been charged, both in South Africa and elsewhere, in their personal capacity for other environmental crimes. And in other so-called first world countries, directors have also spent time in jail for environmental crimes.
And you know, the emission of carbon dioxide into the air, what are the issues with that? I mean, it talks to global warming, for instance, one of the negatives about that. And also, what are the other issues associated with that? But I want to look at also the economy, because some of these companies are the backbone of the economies of their countries. So, and their business is to burn whatever they burn, and then they emit carbon dioxide into the air. So how do you balance the two?
Yes, well, you're absolutely right. It is necessary to balance them. But we need to rethink how we view development, because if we don't have enough water left, because we have caused climate change, so we've changed the rainfall patterns, then development is not possible. So we need to understand that our short-term gains may result in real long-term losses. So it is a question of making sure that we take care of our natural resources, including preventing significant increases in climate change, so that we aren't able to use resources and to develop in the future.
But I mean, countries like China, for instance, one of the leading global economies, you see what happens there. I mean, they smoke every day, and there are times when cars cannot even drive in the roads. There are times when people can't even walk. You can't even see an object that is about 5 meters away from you. So what happens to them? Because at a global level, I mean, you hear a lot of rhetoric. They talk about it. I mean, you heard what Trump said about the global warming, for instance. And there's a lot of rhetoric, and there's no consequence.
You're right. And that's one of the difficulties of international law, is that it's difficult to impose sanctions on nation states because they are autonomous. But each of these countries that is signatory to the Paris Agreement has made commitments about its national targets. And as you correctly point out, it appears that one of the biggest emitters, the United States of America, is backtracking on those commitments. But countries like China and others who are enormous emitters are committed to reducing their emissions, so that they will in turn ensure that the global climate change is not significant, or not so significant that we can't mitigate it.
And who must police the implementation of these regulations? At a global scale, at least. Let's start there and bring it down to South Africa.
Well, at a global scale, it's the entities in the United Nations who are responsible for administering this particular protocol. But at a South African level, it's the Department of Environment that has to police it.
And those entities at the UN, I mean, they've been accused of backing down when it comes to the countries that contribute the most, because they will threaten that we will reduce our contribution into this global organization, for instance. That's why it's an allegation. That's why then they back down and say, okay, fine, we see what you're doing, we don't like it, but hey, what can we do? So it's a toothless exercise, then. It's a toothless dog, the UN, sorry to use that term, but you know, it's a figure of speech in the sense that they cannot bite the hand that feeds them.
Well, of course you're right, but it is more complex than that. And what we're also increasingly seeing is consumer demands, which create pressure on entities which export to ensure that they are satisfying the requirements. So whilst nation states might not always be committed to complying with the international law obligations, it may well be that commercial operations within those countries are subject to pressure and will in turn pressurize their governments to improve their performance.
Are we seeing a mindset shift in how companies conduct themselves in the space of carbon dioxide emission into the air, particularly here in South Africa? Because also you remember that there's also another important regulatory shift with the implementation of greenhouse gas emission reporting regulations in April. Since then, or even shortly before then, are we getting that people are aware of what is happening in the air and they are changing patterns and ways of doing things?
Bongi, I think generally we can say in the last 20 years there's been a significant shift in the way South African business does its business. Whereas 20 years ago people were saying, leave me alone, I'm in the business of making petrol or paper or something similar. Now they're saying part of what we do in making those products is to make sure that we comply with environmental requirements, and it's just part of good business. Specifically relating to these regulations, I think they're too new to say, but I think generally there's a much more significant awareness, partly brought about by much greater enforcement of these laws by what is known as the Green Scorpions, the Environmental Management Inspectorate, and they have significantly increased enforcement by increasing compliance notices and prosecutions and other enforcement tools.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Thank you very much for coming through, Terry.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Terry Winstanley is the Director of the Environmental Law Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. And for more on environmental stories, tune in to SAFM's Enviro Show tonight at 2100, hosted by Nancy Richards.